Good morning and welcome back to another edition of High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne right here on Talk 960. We are keeping it local. We are featuring High Desert community issues, events, organizations, and individuals you don't want to miss. You can always catch us Saturdays right here at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. here on Talk 960. Let's get to it.
Well, good morning. We are back, and again, February is Black History Month. And as we did last week, we had a wonderful interview with Frances Lewis from the Deltas talking about Black sorority life. And so this week, we wanted to follow it up with our special guest, Dr. Lakita Emanuel, who's going to share with us a little bit about the Alphas, another sorority that I feel like should be pretty well known, but maybe not, and especially here in the High Desert. So let's jump into it. And Dr. Lakita, I want to say welcome to the conversation with Regina and Roxanne.
Hello.
Thank you for being here. And so tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been here in the community, the work that you've been doing, and then we want to hear about the history of the Alpha.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here
our
today.
Joy.
Basically, I've been a resident of the High Desert for about 22 years now. So I can't believe how time has flown.
Yes.
And this is my home. I love this community.
Okay. And you've been here for the past 22 years. What work have you or profession have you been engaged in?
I am a speech-language pathologist by trade. By training, I did have a private practice up here for 17 years.
Wow!
So a pretty important staple in the community. Recently, I have retired myself from that, so I'm now able to dedicate 100% of my time to service. So I'm really excited about that.
Which is great. And if you saw her, there is no way you would believe she's retired. But that's another.
Baby.
We'll have her back for Women's History Month to talk about aging, right?
You all are too kind. Yes, but right now I am the president of High Desert Pearls, and it is an official interest group of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so tell us about Alpha Kappa Alpha.
So Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated is the first Black Greek-lettered organization established by college-educated women. We have been doing service to all mankind for over 116 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, we were founded on the campus of Howard University, January 8, 1908. So we pride ourselves on being supreme in service to all mankind.
So
right.
You're a little older than last week's with the Deltas.
Yes,
the Deltas
yes.
Started in 1913,
right.
I wanted to say. So 1908, okay.
11 years,
great.
Right?
Yes,
okay.
That's absolutely correct. So we span worldwide. We are an international sorority spanning over 11 countries. We have 1,064 chapters, 355,000 members. And one of our most notable members is Vice President Kamala Harris.
Wow. So let me ask a question. Why do these sororities exist? What was the need? What was going on at the time that, because there were other sororities.
Yes, there were.
At that time. But what was going on at the time so we can understand why they were needed and continue to exist?
That's an amazing question. If you think about the time frame in history, and we're talking about 40 years after slavery ended,
mm-hmm.
in 1865,
mm-hmm.
we're talking about African Americans deciding what path they should take. Should they be college educated? Should they pursue those types of endeavors? Those of us who decided to do that, some of us that were outside of the South were able to go to predominantly white institutions,
mm-hmm.
but it was not an easy road.
Mm-hmm.
Alpha Kappa Alpha was founded at a historically Black institution, and the need for just women in general in that climate, not only being Black, but being a woman who wanted to be educated, we needed support.
Mm-hmm.
That allowed us to create other chapters, the second chapter being created at a white university that allow those students there to also find support because there was a lot of discrimination, even though it was outside of the South.
Mm-hmm.
So the organization was extremely relevant, also being able to meet the needs that spoke to people who were African American at the time. Those needs were not being met or spoken to.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so coming forward, now, even though, you know, opportunities have opened up, but there still is a need for us.
Absolutely.
As women of color.
Absolutely.
To have those support bases, right?
Yes.
To help us to navigate, to help us to get through doing this thing called life.
Yes.
Especially on a professional level, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And so I'm reminded that I believe last week Frances talked about how when she, you know, goes out, there's not really too many places she can go and not find a sister, right,
yes,
of her sorority, and how important that is to her.
Yes.
Can you speak a little bit about how important that sisterhood is to the Alphas and the work that you are currently doing here in the High Desert?
Most definitely. So just to clarify a little bit, being an interest group means that we are not yet a chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to do is to prove that we can work out the initiatives that our international president has charged us to do. And so that's what we're doing as High Desert Pearls, because we believe that in this desert community, there needs to be representation of that type of service. For us, meeting the needs of our local community, mm-hmm, meeting the needs of advocating for social justice, supporting and uplifting our families, economic empowerment and education, those are some of the initiatives that we're working on locally in the High Desert. One of our most signature programs that we've been able to do as an interest group is to adopt a elementary school. It's Lime Street Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
And we are focused on feeding the children there who are food insecure. There are many of them who cannot be guaranteed a hot meal when school is not in session.
Right.
So since our initiative started at that school and we adopted it in August of 2023, we have been sending meals home every weekend to 25 students, as well as sending them home for extended breaks. So we're talking 18-day breaks during Christmas, 12-day breaks,
yes,
in the fall. And it has made a huge impact. But it is very economically challenging to do so. So right now we're looking for partnerships, food partnerships with Amazon or Kroger or any of those great food distributors who can help us out and come alongside us, because we need it in the High Desert.
Right.
And it's not really just for our children, but it's for the community at large.
Right.
So we don't discriminate based on ethnicity. It's all about who is in need.
And I think, Dr. Lakita, that's an important point when we talk about, because quite often when people hear that an organization is Black-led,
mm-hmm,
right, Black-run,
mm-hmm,
you know, they have a tendency to feel that that means that they only serve Black,
right?
Right? Mm-hmm. Or that particular ethnicity. In this case, I can speak to both Deltas and your organization. That is not the case.
No.
If it's children across,
yes,
the board.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
If it's students needing scholarships, it's students
across the board. Yes.
Right? If it's families that need support, it's families across the board.
Yes.
Right? And so I wanted to make that clear, because sometimes the mindset is that we only serve our own, and that is not the case, nor was it the case for these organizations to be structured per se, other than the support that we needed.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
To support us getting to a point that we had something to now come to the table with and support others.
Yeah.
Do I have that right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So you talked about the initiatives. How can anybody reach out to you, whether they're a major corporation or whether they're an individual donor? How can they reach out to you to help support the work that you're doing?
We definitely have an ability to take donations. You can come to our internet website. It's www.highdesertpearls.org. We are on every social media outlet at High Desert Pearls as well, so you can see some of the work that we're doing. Click the link in our bio to donate and support us in any way possible. I always say that it's not just about the dollars. If we can get in-kind donations, we recently handed out 100 sleeping bags to to the homeless population. We have a partnership with the Wellness Center up here in Victorville. So we're giving away toiletry bags. If there are hotels who are changing their toiletry line and they want to give the residuals of what they were using to us, we will take it. So highdesertpearls.org or on any social media platform at High Desert Pearls for sure.
And so in closing, can you share with me what makes you proud to be a part of this organization?
It makes me proud that to think that out of the shadows of slavery, that these women at the age of 18, 19, 20 years old had a vision to create something that would outlive them, their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren for the service of all mankind. That makes me, when I was invited here today, this is my favorite topic to talk on. With all the things that I've done in my life, Alpha Kappa Alpha is my favorite topic to speak on because it just really speaks to the human spirit when it's turned towards good.
Yes.
And wanting to help and not wanting anything in return.
Yes. The commitment and the compassion to serve.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
With that, I want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you and the women who are a part of your organization who are doing the work. I know that this chapter is going to get approved.
Yes.
You have hit the ground running and are doing amazing things in our community. And just before I let you go, one more time, that website where people can go and get involved. And you might want to also tell us about membership for your organization. How does that work?
And sure. Also, Dr. Lakita, do you have a timeline as to how or when your chapter will get approved?
Yes.
Is it a long process or
yes.
are we almost there?
It takes us, you have to at least show that you can sustain service in your community for at least 12 months. You can work on that for up to 3 years.
Okay.
But we are hoping we will meet our 12-month mark on February 18th.
Coming up.
Yes. Give us an update, please.
So you will be, if you stay abreast of our website, www.highdesertpearls.org and our social media outlets, you will see when that comes to fruition. And we would love to have all of you at the luncheon and the celebration of that.
Free lunch. Roxanne, let's go.
Yeah, but what an opportunity to have a brand new chapter here in the High Desert.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So you were going to make sure that you told us about membership.
Yes. So membership, we are looking for high ethical and moral, scholastic, professional, college-educated women who have a heart for service.
Great.
First and foremost.
Okay. And anybody who's interested, needing any information, the website again?
www.highdesertpearls.org.
Dr. Lakita, thank you. We'll look forward to hearing about your success.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Come February, what was it, 18th?
And February 18th is when we make our year mark. So we already are hoping, okay, we're hoping for beginning of summer.
We'll look forward to getting that great news. Thank you again for coming today and sharing with
us. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us this week on High Desert Dialogue. Hope everyone's having a great weekend. Taking a look at our community calendar, I'll have a couple of things going on. Desert Valley Hospital, a medical group, is hosting a free community event next Saturday, February 24th, focused on promoting heart health. We talked a little bit about this event a couple weeks ago on High Desert Dialogue. There's going to be free health screenings, various vendors offering heart-healthy products, services, and raffles. This event is taking place at the Mall of Victor Valley February 24th, starting at 10 a.m. And be a civic leader in your community. You can apply to be a poll worker for the March 5th, 2024 presidential primary election. For more information and to apply, you can go to elections.sbcounty.gov. And become a vendor at our radio station's High Desert Family Expo on March 16th, happening at the San Bernardino County Fairgrounds. You can call our radio stations for more information at 760-241-1313.
Well, good morning. And we are still in celebration and recognition of Black History Month. I am so incredibly excited this morning to have this gentleman on to share with us. He's just an amazing archive of historical information. His family has been rooted in this community for decades. And it is really my privilege to introduce to our listeners this morning Hardy Brown II. He's going to share with us a little bit about himself and the legacy of his family. But what we're really going to be talking about today is there is an extraordinary exhibit called The Black Voice that's down at our Redlands San Bernardino County Museum. It has been extended through May. And it really is in celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Black Voice News. So please join me in welcoming Hardy Brown II to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. Good morning, Hardy. How are you?
Good morning to both of you. It is an honor for me to be able to stand here and talk to you during Black History Month. Thank you so much for always being a voice for the community. And as much as I get around to the high desert, I hope that the listeners really get a chance to enjoy this conversation today. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. And Hardy, aside from being the curator of this particular exhibition that we're going to delve into and talk a little bit more about, can you share with us some of the other hats you wear in the community serving the Inland Empire?
I love that. So I'll start with our parents, because this is really about their exhibit and the work that they do, and then I'll kind of move you through the family into myself. But my name is Hardy Brown. I'm a retired San Bernardino County board member. I've represented all 33 school districts and over 400,000 students working here in San Bernardino County. And I have really gotten a chance to work in a lot of these school districts, meeting a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, I also run the Underground Railroad Tours, which is Footsteps of Freedom. For the last 25 years, we've been taking educators on tours of the Underground Railroad, and we physically go from mostly from here in the Inland Empire in Southern California to Kentucky, Ohio, Michigan. We drive across Canada, and we end in upstate New York. And in doing that, we've been doing that, like I said, over the last 25 years with the exclusion of COVID and the pandemic. But we've gotten a chance to meet some really good people during that time period, which has allowed me to my next phase, which is really collecting and keeping the history, not only of freedom movements throughout the world and throughout those history pieces, but also here locally through our family's newspaper. I've been able to collect a lot of our artifacts, and there's some great stories that have jumped out that I would love to be able to share with your listeners so they can just be inspired by some of the stories that are out here about our great community.
Yes. Yes. And then tell us a little bit about the legacy of your family as it relates to the Black Voice.
So my parents, they started the Black Voice newspaper literally 50 years ago. And in starting the newspaper, they've been working here in the community, keeping the coverage of the stories that have been happening not only in Riverside County, but as well as San Bernardino County. And one of the importance of the Black media and the Black press is not to knock anybody else, but sometimes you need another voice. Mm-hmm. You need another voice to tell what's happening in those communities. So I grew up throwing newspapers. My sisters grew up writing for the newspapers. And when you get a chance to see what's happening in our churches, within our community groups like the NAACP and the Urban League, NCNW, and the League of Women Voters, you can now see how it is important to have people like us that are there writing those stories, that live in the community, work in the community, and bring voices of people that usually are not heard in some of the larger newspapers that may not cover their voices. So
yes,
that's what my parents have been able to do for those years.
And that's hugely important. So you guys are now celebrating 50 years of this work in our community. So, Hardy, share with us what one can expect from this exhibition that you've put together at the Redlands Museum.
Thank you. And hopefully we're going to be able to travel this up to the high desert as well and be able to bring it directly to the community. But one of the things we were able to do was bring some of our original pieces and original artifacts from my parents. For example, just on the fun side, it'd be all the music and the people that have come here to the Inland Empire, like when the Jacksons were here or whenever, you know, Michael Jackson and the Jacksons were here. But then also other stories like Sammy Davis Jr. being here during those particular time periods and the concerts that were happening. This is one of the hot concert areas of the world that happened right here in Southern California, here in the Inland Empire. So those are things that they'll be able to see. They'll be able to see some of our writers and our photographers that have gone to the last six Olympics and been able to take some of those stories. And we brought some of the lanyards from the Olympics, from some of the cool sporting events that have happened, but then locally, citizen journalism. So what is happening whenever you're talking about Black Lives Matter or the NAACP or what's happening in other communities as well, us being able to tell those stories. And then a little bit of history, tying together how newspapers are made. So looking at some of our original cameras that are in there and some of the original pieces from our Underground Railroad tour over the last 25 years. But then secondly, which is really, really cool, is we have some history pieces like the Ingram family. And this is one I've been concentrating on a lot lately. But the Ingrams, Dr. Ingram and his sister, Dorothy Ingram,
yes.
He's the first African-American to serve as a doctor, as an African-American doctor here in the Inland Empire. Graduated from Cal Berkeley in 1920. Both of them are the grandchildren of formerly enslaved people, but they made it right here to Southern California into the Inland Empire. And when they made it here, he becomes one of the first Black doctors here in the Inland Empire. And she becomes the first African-American to become a superintendent in the state of California right here in San Bernardino.
Right, and I believe there's a building in San Bernardino that has her name on it that's dedicated to her. Is that right?
Yes, there is. We have a library named after Dorothy Ingram, as well as our new county board office. That was one of the last things we were able to do while I was still elected in office, was to make sure that we not only tell her story, but everybody's story, and inspire kids when they walk in the room. So there's a full exhibit that is set up to tell her story. She's the first African-American to graduate from University of Redlands. She is also the person who wrote the alma mater song for San Bernardino Valley College.
Wow.
And she's the first African-American to become an administrator in San Bernardino County, but then also in the state of California, to become the first African-American superintendent of Mill Street School District back in those days.
And Hardy, talk to me a little bit about the importance of knowing this history and sharing this history and preserving this history.
If we don't share our history, if we don't preserve our history, it will go away. If we don't know that St. Paul AME Church has been there for over 100 years, then you're going to miss out on that. If you don't know that at a time in the United States history that some of the greatest leaders were coming right up there to the high desert to go and do a dude ranch that was African-American owned right there in the high desert, then you'll miss these stories. These are stories that our kids need to be able to see and our grandkids need to be able to see so they can be inspired by our story and what we've been able to do during those particular times.
And with that, can you share any information of how we can come and take a tour of the Black Voice exhibition that's currently on display there in the San Bernardino County Museum in Redlands? And I think I heard you say that we might be treated to that here at the Victor Valley Museum, fingers crossed. But can you tell us how we can go and see that now?
So it is opened up every day, except for Mondays. And you can come in. It's right in the Fisk Room, so it's right downstairs when you first walk in. There's a great staff at the County Museum that can showcase a lot of the pieces. But if, for example, your listeners come in and either I'm there or one of my family members, we'll give you a personal tour. We've done that with multiple school districts, multiple private groups, where we've walked them through and explained to them all of the great stories that come with it. Every time we come in for the next couple of weeks, every couple of weeks, I'd love to change out and bring new pieces in. So, for example, we have Dr. Ben Johnson, or Ben Ingram. We have his information. We have his actual medical bag. We have Dorothy Ingram's, all her work and all her pieces there from education. We have the pieces from the Olympics there. We have some great pictures. And we have our photographers that love to come in. So we'll change things out on a regular basis, and folks can come by. And if we're there, I would be honored to be able to walk them through and tell them the stories and explain to them why this is important and why this is important not only to them but to the Inland Empire in general.
Wow. Hardy, I want to say thank you for that. What a generous offer that is, and I definitely hope that our listeners will take advantage of that invitation that you have extended. Before I let you go, let me ask the question, how do you feel and what responsibility do you believe you have in continuing to be a keeper of this legacy that your parents created and taking it forward?
That's a great question. So Jerry Gore, he was our historian for Footsteps of Freedom for a number of years. He's a really good friend of my mom. He was a mentor to me and many of our other historians in our family and our community. And when he passed away, one of the things that he had always talked to me about is he said that no matter what, continue to say their name and they will always be with you. Mm. And as I think about our ancestors starting to pass on and starting to move on and pass the torch, I think about saying their name. And I think about saying the work that they did so that people don't forget. If we continue to say that, that is going to allow our kids to understand that they're not in this alone. This fight did not start with them. And when they look at it, the way that I talk to students, and I'm actually getting ready to go speak at a school in a couple of minutes, is, you know, in 200 years, what do you want history to say about you? The work that you did while you were here, the people who you impacted, it's not about necessarily the money, but it's really about that legacy that you left. And there are so many great leaders that have come out of the high desert that have left a great legacy. We have to continue to say their name. You know, I went just recently to one of the programs that you did where you were honoring, you had a concert, and you were honoring many of the leaders in the community, and you had a bunch of people stand up. And I was just sitting there thinking, because I was sitting next to the woman who had just turned 100 years old.
Yes, Miss Sadie Patterson.
Yes, and I was sitting there, and one, she looks great. She looks phenomenal.
Yes.
But two, think about all the things that she saw.
Yes.
Over those 100 years, the lives that she impacted, all the things that she saw the changing of the guard. She saw the invention of television and computers and the internet and flight and all these different things she got a chance to live through. We have to show those and tell those stories to our kids. And I think keeping that knowledge and keeping that information is so important because it allows the next generation to know that here's the light to your pathway. Just like Jerry said, we're going to continue to say that person's name and we're going to continue to honor them for the work that they did.
Hardy, I really want to thank you for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to share with us this morning. You're absolutely right. We need to continue to say their names. And we also need to say a huge thank you to you and your family for being keepers of our history, for making sure that we know not only where we came from, but who we are and the wonderful things that have been done here locally. So on behalf of myself and the entire High Desert community, we say thank you to you, your parents, your family, for your commitment to making sure that those names are continued to be said and that the history is continuing to be preserved. Thank you so much for spending this time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been my honor.
We want to thank you for listening and want you to be a part of our local High Desert conversation. We invite you to share ideas, events, interesting people that you as a community want to hear from. Reach out to us. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com and let us know who you want to hear from and who we should be talking to. Take care, and we'll have another conversation next weekend.